And verse number 35, Acts chapter number 20, verse number 35. We're going to read together in unison. One verse, Acts 20, verse number 35. Let's read together, shall we? I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm going to talk to you about it's more blessed to give than to receive. Dear God, thank you again for being a wonderful God, the way that you've given to us. Thank you for salvation that we have the Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us the Word of God. Thank you for giving us the house of God. Thank you for giving us life, Lord. All things come of thee, and Lord, we ought to be so grateful and thankful. Now, dear God, our Holy Spirit of God, please meet with us. Bless these dear folks for their faithfulness. I pray this will be a help and a blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to start reading in verse number 27, Acts 20, verse number 27. Paul speaking, he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is the only time this phrase is ever used in the Bible. You won't find it anywhere mentioned in the Gospels. But that means exactly what John said in John 20, verse 30. He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And in John 21, verse 25, John writes, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So there are many things that Jesus said and many things that Jesus did that are not contained in the Word of God. For instance, this quote that Paul says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is the only place you're going to find that in the Bible. It's not in the Gospels. But yet we know that Jesus said it because Paul, under the inspiration of the Word of God, wrote it. This Christmas season, as in the past, is called a time of giving. And it is true that many people feel more generous at this time of year than during the rest of the year. The holiday season, with all its decorations and music and trappings, and sometimes religious and sometimes secular spin on the holiday season, makes many people almost feel guilty if they do not give something extra that God has blessed them with to other people who are in need of their giving. Remember the widow in Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter number 12, who threw into the treasury her two mites? Jesus says she gave more than all the rich did because she gave all her living. Not just the extra that the philanthropists want to broadcast or proclaim how good they are. She did not announce it. She did not proclaim it. It was Jesus that pointed her out. Same is true today. One day, it will be Jesus who will announce to the entire world what you have given for souls to be saved and what you have sacrificed for souls to be saved. Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 4, all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. That's quite a statement, because the Bible says the rich came and threw into the treasury in front of Jesus. In Mark chapter number 12, the Bible says in verse 41, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury. I mean, he watched how they gave it. You know, like, you can imagine. Like, I'm giving, you know, so much, and look at me, you know, and look how much I'm giving. They probably had the small bills, you know, and, you know, whatever it was, or the coins that hit the buckets, you know, and made all that that noise. And Jesus watched how, the Bible says, how they gave. The Bible says many that were rich cast in much. But Jesus said, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in their abundance, of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I'm sure you've heard the phrase before. There's two kinds of people in the world, givers and takers. That's the title of my sermon this morning, givers and takers. Some people genuinely love to give, while others genuinely love to take. That's true everywhere. Anywhere you go, you will meet the givers and the takers. It's true in families. It's true at work. It's true in churches. It's true in all professions. It's true all over our society. The problem is when you have more takers than givers, the takers will eventually destroy the givers. And that's what's hurting our country, to be honest with you. Everybody wants to take for the last 50 years. We've had people that all they want to do is take, take, take. They lie to take money on disability. They lie to take money filing frivolous lawsuits. They lie. Most plaintiff's attorneys will lie so they can sue someone or some business so they can take money from them. Many doctors will charge for needless surgeries and needless prescriptions because they like taking money from either people or insurance companies. People will lie to take. People will exaggerate to take. People will blemish to take. People will color their story to take. Not just money and things. I'm talking about, you know, attention, recognition, applause, a following, self-pontification, esteem, accolades, image-boosting statements. The takers love taking things that do not belong to them. They think they deserve it. They think the other person isn't going to miss it. They rationalize it in their own wicked minds that it's not a big deal. That's exactly how takers think, and that's how they act. You remember Galatians where God says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Givers and takers are going to reap exactly what they have sown, ladies and gentlemen. You are not going to stop God's word from coming to pass. When you rob God and rob God's work, you are taking what is not rightfully yours, and you think you deserve it more. You think you need it more. You think it really won't matter. That is why people do not tithe. When a person does not give, they are saying they do not care about the ministry. They do not care about keeping the lights on, the heat on, and having the bills paid. They do not care about the missionaries being supported. They do not care about having the buses and the vans running. They do not care if we buy gospel tracts to hand out to people. They do not care if the church can afford to buy food and clothing for those in need. They do not care if the poor are struggling and cannot make ends meet. A giver gives sacrificially because he or she knows is going to help someone who is in need. When the hurricanes went through Puerto Rico, I did not give to the Red Cross or some other GoFundMe fake book drive. I did not give to some concert singer who's a dope head or a sodomite or someone who hates God in the Bible. Our church gives to Brother Rodriguez in Puerto Rico without a middleman being paid an administrative fee. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. When hurricanes ravished Mexico, I did not give to a relief agency or give to some because of some emotional tear-jerking advertisement on television so that some fat cat can get paid an administrative fee. Our church sends money to Brother Combe in Mexico so that he can wisely disperse the help to those who are really in need. I cannot afford to go to Africa and make sure who is and who is not worthy of help or financial help. But thankfully, Brother Ruckman is out over there, and the church supports him financially so that he can be a help and a blessing to those folks in West Africa who are hurting and desperately need help. You want to help poor people in the Philippines? Then I suggest you give to missions so Brother Felipe can help those there that are in real need, those who are really poor, and those who are really struggling. And here's the thing. 100% of the money goes directly to the missionaries. We do not send money to fat bureaucrats sitting on mission boards who are getting a salary to be the middleman. There are thousands upon thousands of volunteers all across this country who willingly give of their time to help write letters, help fold letters, help stamp the envelopes, who write out the envelopes all across the country in thousands of Baptist churches all across America, who give of themselves to help others who are less fortunate. But here's what the average guilty non-giver, the takers, do. They sit there and watch a moving and emotional commercial for the Red Cross, for the Shriners Hospital, for Cancer Society, for the wicked and evil Girl Scouts that promote abortion and sodomites and lesbians, and other ungodly organizations support killing babies in a womb. And he or she sends money to those organizations out of guilt because of emotion, not knowing that God's money is being wasted to support evil causes. Do you know how many times I've read where people have been asked to send clothes somewhere and they left those clothes in a mountain pile of clothes out in the rain and the weather, and they got all moldy and mildew and just rotted away, and they had to burn the whole pile of clothes that people sent from thousands of miles away to supposedly help poor people in that area? Do you know how many times people and governments have sent money to so-called poor countries to help the malnourished people of that land, and then only to be used by the dictators and their families and their friends, while the poorest of their people go without, and those in power are living it up because of the guilt of Americans who do not tithe? Do you know how many people feel guilty at work when a government-approved list of charities comes through the office and people check off how much they give to ungodly and wicked organizations that support the sodomites and baby killing in the womb and the man-hating feminist lifestyle and the DSS and Child Protective Services that have destroyed more families than probably any other government agency? But the takers give only because of their guilt of what others in the workplace are going to say. Oh, you're not giving anything? Oh, you didn't give anything? Well, we've been giving all year long, every week, week in and week out, to help those less fortunate, because we plan to obey God, because we want to see folks saved. On the other hand, the takers only give out of guilt because they will feel bad in front of others if they do not give anything at a certain time of the year. Those are the takers. They do not care if people get saved or not. That's why they do not hand out any gospel tracts. Why should I? In their mind, they say, why should I buy gospel tracts? They're not concerned about bringing anybody to church. So their thinking is, why should I pay to put gas and pay for insurance for the bus or the van? Why should I turn the lights on? They're too ashamed of the gospel. That's why they choose not to live right. That's why they choose not to obey the word of God, because their heart is not in it. Their heart is in taking and keeping for themselves. They would rather buy their beer and their alcohol and their liquor and their wine to wine and dine with other ungodly people at parties and concerts and movies and raves, because they want others to like them. That's how takers think. They want to be liked more than they love other people. They give to others when they will be noticed and appreciated. They wouldn't think of ever putting a tithe in an envelope and putting in the offering basket to help support some missionaries who have sacrificed their entire lives and gone overseas to start churches and see people getting saved from hell. They wouldn't think of giving to buy gospel tracts that they will never hand out anyway. They wouldn't think of giving money to a ministry where they only come once a month or once every other week. They wouldn't think of giving money to a ministry that teaches and preaches against their sins. They would rather give money to a church and pastor that they can buy off, who will not step on their toes and who will not preach against their sins, because both the taker and the pastor have the love of money. The fake, phony, and fraud pastors love money that he takes from people that he doesn't warn about their specific sins, and the takers are willing to buy off this same pastor to make them feel good about themselves, because the takers think so highly of themselves, contrary to what the Apostle Paul says. I know it's not very popular sometimes to come to an old-fashioned hellfire and damnation Baptist church that still believes the King James Bible is the Word of God, where sinners still get saved and people still get baptized on a regular basis. I know the crowds of takers do not care what the Bible says about their sins. They care more about being liked and falsely loved and admired and followed by the same kind of thinking of those greedy, selfish takers that live a self-centered life. Oh, you know what? I got to read you this. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to do it this morning. My wife showed me something that somebody sent her, or she saw, And this is worth reading. Listen to this. And this is a perfect example, a perfect illustration of takers. Facebook, I call it fake book, is a strange place. The place where people add you as a friend and walk past you in the street. Where relationships are perfect, affairs are started, and liars believe they are telling the truth. Your enemies visit your profile the most, yet your friends and family block you. And even though you write what you are really thinking, someone always takes it the wrong way, and people think your status is about them. Ain't that the truth? It's all about them. Self-aggrandizing. They selfishly focus on themselves instead of people. They selfishly promote themselves and not the King James Bible. They admire the other fake, phony, and fraud takers who think that giving to their own family now is part of their giving to the church and part of tithing. You know how many times I've heard that rubbish? Well, I give. Well, I'm supporting my wife. No, that's in addition to what God says in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. You're saying that because you don't want somebody to tell you that you're robbing God according to Malachi. Yeah. That's why so many people today in the last 30 plus years do not believe that tithing is part of the New Testament church age. First of all, that's not true. It is. Second of all, even if you think it's true, then I can show you verse in the New Testament that Jesus and the apostles teach that you ought to give everything. If you don't think tithing's part of it, God says you ought to give all of it. That's what Jesus said, and that's what the apostles said. But takers don't want to look at that verse, those verses, because they don't want to obey God anyway. They're not going to want to spend their selfish time with you reading and listening to Bible verses that would make them feel guilty and convicting about disobeying God and His Word, because that's what a taker's like. They just want to take. And I do not feel bad at all. Because I don't take a salary, ladies and gentlemen. If God tarries and lets me live tomorrow, I plan on going to work tomorrow morning. This church doesn't pay me a salary. This church doesn't pay my mortgage. I wish it did. I wish it did. But it doesn't. This church doesn't pay my exorbitant property and school taxes that are ungodly in New York State. I'm planning on going to work tomorrow, so that I can give next Sunday in the offering plate, so that my giving will go to missions here and abroad for people that need it. I want to give to see people getting saved. I do not want to waste God's money on a stupid bale tree mentioned in Jeremiah chapter number 10 that you spend money on buying and then spend money on lights and trimmings and balls and make it look also beautiful so that you can be all warm and fuzzy on the inside while souls are going to hell and you're not even giving tithe, because that's what takers do. Why should I feel guilty about preaching the truth? We had a fellow in our church used to say, I remember this, really funny, he's right. Every time we go buy a house that had Christmas lights, he said, those are rich people over there. I said, what do you mean they're rich? He said, anytime you can afford to pay the extra electric bill to put lights on a house for no good reason, you've got a lot of money to waste. Amen. I said, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. You want me to feel guilty about preaching against the takers and blessing those who are givers. You don't have money to pay your bills or tithe, but you're going to go buy a stupid Christmas tree and Christmas lights and Christmas decorations to make you feel good, and you don't even tithe and give to missions. And you want me to feel guilty about preaching. If 100 people show up next Sunday or 10 people show up next Sunday, I'm still preaching from the King James Bible the same way I preached for the last 30 years. Until I am dead and gone in heaven with Jesus, my Savior. And when you're dead and gone, you're going to find out the preacher was right. Amen. Until that time, I am planning on giving myself to the cause of Jesus Christ and the winning of the lost. Against all the takers. Some of you new folks started coming lately. God bless you. You've been very faithful. You've listened to a lot of stuff the last year or two or three. You think of some of this preaching that's hard and tough? You should have been here 15, 25 years ago. Think about my dear wife, been here for 30 years. She stuck with me, that poor woman. But you folks have been coming here for the last few years. You know what faithfulness is? Coming for as long as Christine Lewis has been coming, or Elka Betters, or Les and Mary Safford, or Bud Halleck, or the Thatchers, and other people that I could go on, the list can go on and on. They've seen, they've heard a lot of things. It's easy to come for 1 or 2 weeks, 1 or 2 months, or 1 or 2 years. See if you stay for 15 or 20 years of this kind of preaching. Running a bus or running a van, knocking on doors, street preaching, trying to get people saved, trying to get people baptized. Then I think of those folks who have gone to heaven before us, Jeff Seeley and Bill DeFreeze, Liz Halleck, Rita Doherty, Grace Safford, Ed Fitzpatrick, Bill Mallow, many, many others who literally gave their lives in the best way they knew how, just so people could get saved and just so we could see people brought to church and see people getting baptized. I miss those folks. I really do. Because they gave. They were not rich. Think about, what's the lady's name? Rose. Lord, please help me to remember. I feel guilty now. I can't remember Rose's last name. Hover. She was a bag lady, man, at the boys' club. When we started, she came the first couple weeks we started church, man. And she was faithful for, I don't know how many years until we moved to the old building there. She was a bag lady. Always wore a dress or skirt, always down to her ankles. And she's a little overweight, you know. She had her bags, you know, about 3, 4, 5, 6 bags. She sometimes had a cart. She had, you know, a bandana sometimes around her head and sometimes a fancy or weird-looking hat, you know, with things sticking out, you know. She's a bag lady, walked around the streets of Troy. But she used to come to church, and you know what she used to do? She used to count out her welfare money and tithe in the offering basket. Living in one room, just about one bedroom, one room, hole in a wall apartment, because she was concerned about souls, and she loved church, and she loved God. We got a good job. Good car, good house. You can't even put anything in the offering basket. I don't get a salary. Don't get mad at me. You don't even want to give to support the missionaries who are across the world trying to see people saved. Those are takers that don't do that. Because their money is their God. Their belly is their God. Their leisure is their God. Their pleasure is their God. These people gave. They were not rich. They didn't have much money. But they gave what they could, like the widow did with her two mites. And I'm not going to betray those folks who gave their lives so that we could have a ministry here that a bunch of newcomers who love taking instead of giving will forsake the King James Bible one day and forsake old-fashioned hellfire and damnation Baptist preaching and forsake the old-fashioned hymns and the old-fashioned songs of the past that stirred hearts and brought revivals. I miss those families who've moved away faithfully. By the way, Brother Larson's wife is expecting, Nancy's expecting, I don't know if it's number 8 now or something like that. They're praying for twins, amen? So you pray for them, amen? But at least they left in good standing. We have families we've been praying for the last 5 years on our prayer list. They didn't get mad at the preacher, and they get mad at the preaching. I know why people move out of New York State, man. Can't you understand it? The only reason you're here is because you must love God. I don't know what else reason you're here for. Amen. Tell you what, man, if I wasn't pastoring this church, if I wasn't concerned about getting people saved in Troy, New York, I'd be in Alaska shooting bear and hunting bear and fishing for salmon. I don't care how I get it, amen. I do it anyway, amen. I wouldn't be here in this God-forsaken place if I didn't care about people. Have you ever noticed that it's usually the takers who complain and criticize more than the givers? Have you ever noticed that it's usually the takers who want to discard the King James Bible and get a newer perversion? Have you ever noticed that it's usually the takers who are not forgiving and merciful to others? Have you ever noticed that it's usually the takers who do not want a certain type of person to visit our church? Have you ever noticed that it's usually the takers who cannot control their anger, their spending, and their lust? Have you ever noticed that it's usually the takers who do not read their Bibles and who do not have a daily prayer time on their knees in their prayer closet? Have you ever noticed that it's usually the takers who do not go soul winning, who do not go visiting? Have you ever noticed how a government employee acts as if they care about people and acting as if they want to help people? Did you ever notice that? You take their salary away and you see how much they really care about you. Get them off the clock after 5 o'clock and see how much they care about you.
They care about their $20 an hour, $30 an hour, $50 an hour, $100 an hour. Just come in, lay on the couch. These psychologists and psychiatrists, you think they really care about you? They care that you're just another number for them to make $250 an hour. Where they're not getting paid for their time, see how much they care about you. It's all about the money that they are taking from you and taxpayers, because most of them are a bunch of takers. Same thing is true with other professionals and private practices and private companies and private organizations. You know, employees are takers like employers are takers. See how much the doctor and the insurance company cares if you do not have insurance or if you don't have enough money to pay the doctor for the surgery, or the medication, or the prescription. See how much they care. Oh, he's got good bedside manners. See how much he cares if you don't have any money. See how much all these people really care about you when you do not pay them or have the money to pay them. Most of them care about their money because they are takers. These celebrities, these singers, these whores of Hollywood, they act like they care. They care about their millions of dollars while their cheering supporters are spending their money on concerts and movies and shows. They're a bunch of actors who act. They know how to act. They act like they care. They don't care. I'm not against the firemen and the fire department, but I'm all for the Melrose Fire Department that's a volunteer fire department. I'm for the fire departments that are volunteer firemen who, like, I passed them as I was coming to church this morning, the blue lights on pickup trucks coming on their own time, on their own money to help people who are hurting or need some help with a fire that's burning. I'm for those kind of people who volunteer, who give of their time. I'm not against the police and the sheriff who so-called protect our society, but I'm all for the armed citizen who carries because he really cares about helping other people. I'm not against limited government, but I am against bloated big government that takes, 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 and takes. I'm not against Bible-believing churches, but I'm for the Bible-believing churches where they're all volunteers. I'd rather have a storefront, hellfire, damnation, independent fundamental Baptist church that's a bunch of volunteers than going to a church in a beautiful stone-walled, beautiful cathedral ceiling, stained glass windows that hate God and don't have a King James Bible anymore, that don't go soul and don't have standards anymore. You give me the new church that just started up 1 or 2 years old, meeting in a storefront somewhere with fold-up chairs. I'm not against pastors receiving a salary if they're getting people saved and baptized on a regular basis. But I am all for the all-volunteer Baptist preachers, friends of mine who work secular jobs because they refuse to compromise truth and refuse to compromise their preaching. I'm not against supermarkets and food stores, but I'm all for the churches that feed people through volunteers, but people who give clothes and people who give food and canned food and stock up for people who need it in time of need. I'm not against banks and lenders. But I am all for God's people who give money to the poor with no strings attached. Nowadays, if you don't get paid for doing something, most people don't want to do anything to help others out. People are so ungrateful today. They're ungrateful to parents. They're ungrateful to their husbands. Ungrateful to their fathers, their mothers who gave, the mothers literally would go to the gates of death to give birth to them. People are so ungrateful for churches today. So why are people so cold today, Pastor? Because people have left God and left the house of God and become takers and users trying to get over on others. That's why the Capital District was number one again in the nation for having the smallest Bible influence of any area in the country. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. We made number one again. And you see it every time we go soul winning, amen? You see it every time we witness on the streets. You see it every time we preach on the street corner. You see it every time we sing downtown like we did a couple weeks ago. You know why? Because people are cold-hearted. Husbands and wives, married life, they're givers and takers. You know what I'm talking about. Your ex-boyfriend, your ex-girlfriend, your ex-husband, your ex-wife. They're either a giver or a taker. They're either a user or a giver. Sometimes they're parents, sometimes they're children, sometimes they're siblings, sometimes they're so-called friends. Do not give or do things because you want to be accepted. Because you want to be liked, because you want to be followed, or because you want to be loved. Eventually, you will be hurt and disappointed You ought to give and help people because God taught you from the Word of God that God loved you first and helped you first before you ever loved God back. So what we do, we buy Christmas presents for those who buy Christmas presents for us. We send Christmas cards to those who send Christmas cards to us. We like someone because they like us. We follow someone because they follow us. We are interested in someone because they're interested in us. That's shallow, selfish, immature behavior that cares about self and not others. A person who gives themselves to others freely and without strings attached is someone who loves people. How can you greet a total stranger with a smile, a handshake, a hug, and a warm greeting who, unbeknownst to you, may be a murderer, a rapist, which is a Hollywood star probably, a thief, a child molester, a liar, lazy, an ingrate, but you cannot do that with your own spouse, your own sibling, your own children, your own parents, your own grandparents, your own neighbors, your own coworkers? I'll tell you why. Because you do not know anything about a stranger and they have not hurt you, your feelings, yet. But all the other people that you have been close to in some way or forced to be in a relationship in some way, have said something or have done something that has hurt you and hurt your feelings, which are more important to you than obeying God's command to love everyone the way God loves everyone. That doesn't mean you have to like everyone. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everyone. Doesn't mean you have to condone everything that everybody does. Jesus surely doesn't like what he sees in the sodomite-filled America, baby-killing industries in every state of the union. Surely Jesus does not like the fake, phony, and fraud religious Pharisees that have rejected the Word of God, the King James Bible, who do not care about people dying and going to hell. Jesus doesn't like that. But he so loved the world that he came and died on the cross to pay for even their sin. Because he loves them while they were yet sinners, the Bible says. What a great, merciful, and forgiving, and loving God he is. A God of reconciliation. He wants to reconcile the entire world to himself, whether you want or not. While cold-hearted believers refuse to reconcile with others whom they perceive to be too sinful, too critical, and too mean. What a bunch of selfish, self-pity God's people have become. All because their feelings were more important to them than obeying God's command to love. Because God's love demands that we give ourselves sacrificially on the altar of love for the winning of the lost and the reconciling of the wayward brothers and sisters in Christ. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. God bless you folks for giving consistently. You folks that give tithing and offerings and extra to missions and love gifts. Hey, the bills have been paid. The lights are on. The heat's on. The missionaries are all paid up. 30 years, we're still here. The lights are still on. The gospel's still being sent out. Doors are still being knocked on. Because you know why? Because some people in this church have been here for 10, 20, 30 years, faithfully giving sacrificially, even when it hurt, while the takers just come and go and criticize what they don't like. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 15. Paul writes, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you," watch this, "though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Do you read that? He said, "The more I love, I know the less I will be loved back." And that's the truth. That's a hard truth of life. If you're going to love the way God says you ought to love, you got to realize that people are not going to love you back the way you want them to love you back. But if you love God and you love the Word of God and you love people, you're going to love them regardless. Because love is a one-way street, ladies and gentlemen, not a two-way street. Amen. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to save sinners. Some have received him as their Savior. The vast majority have rejected them and gone out into hell. But he still loved them anyway and came and died for their sins anyway.
Paul writes in Romans 9, I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren. Paul was right. He said, I'd rather be cursed and in hell for my brethren, the Israelites, to be saved. That's a love that he, that's why he preached the way he preached, by the way. That's why he didn't keep, excuse me. That's why he didn't keep anything back. He gave them the whole counsel of God, the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, he says, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. He's giving his testimony. Take your Bible, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we're close by, verse number 5. This is good stuff right here, man. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 5. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, Paul was rude in speech. I know he said, Pastor, I don't like some of the words you say. I understand that. Welcome to old-fashioned hellfire and damnation Baptist preaching, amen? Yeah. They never said these words in a Greek Orthodox church. I understand that. The average Roman Catholic bishop, cardinal, orange, bluebird, they don't say these kind of things. These priests don't say those things. The average Presbyterian or Protestant church, they won't say those kind of things. I understand that. Paul was of rude speech. But everybody got the point he was trying to get across. Though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I preach to you the gospel of God freely. He preached the gospel of God freely. Well, all the churches do that, Pastor. That's not true, ladies and gentlemen. Because the Catholics believe in the sacraments, and you can't go to heaven unless you pay the sacraments. You got to pay for your baptism. You got to pay for marriage. You got to pay to get whatever all the things are for prayers for the dead, and pray for these candles, and pray for the rose. You got to pray. You got to pay, and then they might pray for you to be elevated to purgatory. And they, if you give enough and pay enough, you know what? That's not a free. That's not a free gospel. That's a business gospel. That's a money-making shenanigans. Nobody charged you to come here this morning. I've never charged one person to get baptized in this baptistry. I've not charged one person 30 years ever getting married. Not one person. I've not charged one person for any counseling I've ever done. I've not charged for any sermons I've ever given. But everybody wants you to buy their books, you know, and buy my tapes and send your tax-deductible gift to such and such an address. Those are a bunch of takers, most of them. I know there's costs to be met. I understand that. But most of them are a bunch of takers. And they take it from people who don't give to God's work, and they feel guilty about it. So they watch something on the television or hear something on the radio, and they send God's money to perverts in religious circles. Let's keep reading here. Verse 8. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Did you read what he said? I don't want to be chargeable to anybody. Verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Old English word for why. Because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Amen. Hey, why don't you go find out how much the average reverend gets paid? Find out what the average salary of the average pastor or bishop or priest or religious leader is. Go find out. And find out if they take away their salary, how much they really care about you and show up. Or they're going to go find another. It's to them, it's just another job. But they act pious and smile. And they say, oh, those people down there at that church, they don't really love you. They don't love people. Because they don't even know what love is. Of course, they don't even give the gospel out.
But that's what the Greek Orthodox priest told my mom about my pastor. Oh, he hates people. He came to my house. And I wasn't there. I was at work. You know what? I like to know what these religious lazy bums do all day. Well, you know what they need to do? They need to go find a real job and sweat and work and get tired at the end of the day. You know what's a shame? We have more women in this church here that work harder than most men do. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. You know why? Because men are takers. And women are takers, too. Yeah. They want their football game, their hockey game, their basketball game. They want their beer. And then they yell, "Woman, get me that beer from the refrigerator." Because they're a bunch of takers. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians 7, he says, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 24, he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, let's go there please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. So many people in this area have a Troy mentality of taking and taking, but never giving and giving. And you can tell we don't have extra money to splurge on vanity and pleasures that the selfish crowds desire. We're not a rich church, as you can tell. We're not catholic. We're not Presbyterian. We're not whiskey-palians. We're some mainline Protestant denomination that has millions of dollars in their bank accounts and mutual funds that pay the salaries of lazy religious leaders that hate God and hate the Word of God. We're some big box entertainment religious center with concert-like atmosphere, with 100 or 1,000 immature people meeting in darkened rooms, looking at a big screen for their religion and singing with no King James Bible while they sway to their rock and roll Egyptian, African, Caribbean music and hold hands and hug other people's wives and husbands, contrary to 1 Corinthians 7:1. People walk out of there with a sense of real love. Oh, it's so good. Because they selfishly indulge in their emotions and feelings instead of laying themselves on the altar of sacrifice by giving themselves selflessly to others, even when others hurt them. There are no poor people in America, ladies and gentlemen. There are poor people in Mexico, in Africa, in the Philippines, but not in America. We have people who are drunkards. We have users and druggies and potheads and gamblers and whores and selfish spenders on vanity and liquor and alcohol and wine and beer and sports and pleasures, but not poor people. We have people who are lazy and do not work and do not provide for their own, who do not save for a rainy day because their God is their government that will come in and save the day when they run out of some more of their taxpayer money. Those are the same users and takers in this area. When someone is hurting and something devastating happens in their life, it's difficult for us to help them, to be a blessing to them, because other people, God's people, have become users and takers and do not give faithfully to further the gospel and help those who are in need. Where did I say 1 Thessalonians 2? Is that what I said? Verse number 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls because you were dear unto us. Hey, you can't be here 15, 20, 30 years without somebody hurting you and somebody say something nasty to you and somebody purposely trying to destroy you. You stay that long and go through all that stuff, you know what that shows to me? You love people, man. People are so easily hurt and easily offended because you don't know what love is. You want somebody to love you and like you and follow you and be all about you. It's great when people love you back. Don't misunderstand me. That is a great thing when somebody loves you back. But that's added on top and has nothing to do with God's love. That's extra if somebody loves you back. Count that as a blessing from God Almighty. If you want to be like God and like Jesus Christ, then love people one way sacrificially. Doesn't mean you have to be with them. Just saying. But God's love is one way. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, since we're there. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you.
Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble mind, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I didn't have it written down, but I like this verse, and it's real nearby, so we're going to read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Boy, that'd be a good qualifying factor to put on welfare and food stamps, don't you think? If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And by the way, a lot of people could use lose some weight, amen? Sit home watching those stupid video games, playing video games. Sitting home watching movie after movie after movie after movie, moving from the couch to the refrigerator, going back to the couch, to the bathroom, to the couch, to the refrigerator. That's all the exercise they do all day. They're a bunch of takers. My Bible says in Hebrews 13:3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity. Hey, do you think about Christians that are suffering in communist red China? Do you think about Christians that are suffering in Iran right now? Do you know how many pastors and believers have been put to death in Iran, in the Middle East, because they profess Jesus Christ to their families, because they've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And we sit here, twiddle our thumbs, complain and murmur about the most stupidest things. My Bible says in Proverbs 19, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. The Bible says in Psalm 112, a good man showeth favor. He says in verse number 9, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. Psalm 41, verse number 1 said, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Hey, you want your prayers to get answered? You better help the poor. Hey, where are the poor today? All around the globe, but not in America, I'm telling you right now. We are suffering the results of our rebellion and our sin and our disobedience. We have broken hearts in America. Yeah. We have troubled minds in America. We have poor people in America. And everybody needs the gospel. The poor and the troubled minds and the broken hearts, everybody needs the gospel. But the problem is we loved the wrong thing or the wrong person that hurt us. And as a result of that, we closed up. You know what I'm talking about. You know, your ex, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife that left you. You gave your all to somebody that you had no business giving. And they let you down. They hurt you. Kicked you in the gut and left you alone. And now you're afraid to do that again because I don't want to get hurt again. Well, I got news for you. God will never let you down. So if you love God supremely, he'll never hurt you. He'll never leave you. The problem is you put your love on the wrong object, the wrong person, the wrong thing. How about putting your love on the Word of God that'll never change? Huh? How about putting your love on souls that are dying one breath from hell? How about putting your love on the one who gave his life for you, who loved you before you ever loved him back, who thought about you while you were a sinner? That's godly love, ladies and gentlemen, not selfish love. He said in Hebrews 12, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. He said in verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness. Nobody hears about holiness anymore. He said, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He was a taker and he lost it all. And by the way, takers will lose it all one day. You mark it down. The Bible says he was rejected for he found no place of repentance. One day, I'm telling you, you're going to cross the line. It'll be too late. It'll be too late. Isaiah 32, verses 8 to 11. In verse 9, ye women that are at ease, ye careless daughters. Verse number 10, ye careless women. Verse number 11, tremble, ye women that are at ease, be troubled. Ye careless ones, strip you and make you bare. That's a picture of America right there, man. Everybody's just careless, lazy, laid back, not doing anything for God. What are you doing for God?
What are you doing for God? What are you giving back to God? Fa la 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 la. Isaiah 58, please. Let's take our Bible. We'll close maybe with this verse. Maybe. Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Romans 15, 1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. But all we want to do is please ourselves. Ephesians 4, 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may give, that he may have to give to him that needeth. For 2 Timothy 2:10 says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Isaiah 58, please, verse number 6. He's talking about fasting. And he's preaching against the people of God because they were not fasting correctly. They were making a mockery about fasting. When's the last time you fasted, sacrificed? Verse number 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Watch this. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Why can't you get rid of some temptation? Why can't you get rid of some sin in your life? Have you ever tried fasting? That'll break every yoke, the Bible says. Every yoke. Amen. Of course, we don't hear that because most pastors and reverends are overweight today and a bunch of fat slobs. How can you preach on fasting when you're overweight in the pulpit? But they know how to smile real good. They know how to cock their hedges right. They know how to speak in that deep baritone voice, man. They make you feel so good, don't they? Verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as a noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. You look at the last time a church been around in the Northeast, anywhere in the Northeast for 30 years and preached the way that we've preached and still been here. I'm telling you, it's God Almighty alone, ladies and gentlemen. God Almighty. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 10, freely ye have received, freely give. In Matthew chapter number 25, then shall the king say to them, on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we an hungered and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Yeah, takers don't want to do that, but givers give their lives and they sacrifice their lives for others. Even while others betray them and hurt them and walk away from them, because they know there's other souls ahead that need the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke 14, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends like we do, nor thy brethren like we do, neither thy kinsmen like we do, nor thy rich neighbors like we want to do, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Hey, when's the last time you brought poor people to your house and fed them? Huh? Yeah. We want to do it through the auspices of the local church. Let's bring them to God's house and feed them, which is nothing wrong with that. We do that. Nothing wrong with that. But how about bringing them to your house? Sitting in your chair, at your dining room, eating your food. We invite our friends, the rich, because we know they're going to invite us back. How selfish we are. How unlovable we have become. How hypocritical we have become. I wonder why God can't bless, why God doesn't send revival. He said, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. My Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. He that ministereth seed to the sower both ministereth bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Paul writes and tells people to give, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account in Philippians chapter number 4. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But that is only promised to people who are givers, not takers. And God will supply all your need if you're giving. A person who gives cares about those people that he or she has never met yet. By giving and sacrificing for a local independent fundamental Baptist ministry, you are enabling the word of God to be propagated by the people of God in that area until Jesus comes. I want to remind you that it was the widow that kept Elijah fed. God always uses people who give their all, not the ones who rob God and take from others and have hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands or millions of dollars in their bank accounts. I've been there. I know what it's like to have just about nothing and give everything that you have left in an offering plate. You ask my wife. I can tell you, based on the authority of the Word of God and based on my experience that has proven it, you cannot outgive God. It is impossible. Amen. God will always supply your needs when you are a giver and not a taker. Are you giving this morning or are you taking? Are you a giver or are you a taker? I opened my eyes again this morning. It usually comes without any warning. The thought came again as I sat up in bed. Oh, spared, sinful man, you didn't wake up dead. I just had prayed the night before the night had closed the door. Dear God above, if it be thy will, let thy love to others shine still. And let me not a hindrance be by seeing my lot and indulging in me. I asked you last night for forgiveness of sins, being shot in this fight by deadly assassins. And I wept as I prayed for thy love to indwell, so sinners are saved from a burning hell. The old enemy tries to make me focus on me, but I place my eyes on him who walked on the seas. Even though it does hurt to not be loved back, while they revel in mirth like wolves in a pack, my prayer has been and always shall be to save them from sin and let them see how merciful and kind and long-suffering thou art. Your love that can shine to the broken in heart. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, dear God, for the people who assemble here week in and week out. I know people are sick sometimes and can't make it. I know people are working sometimes and they can't make it. I know people are traveling, and we have that. Those three cases here this morning, I know that. But dear God, there's a group of people here that love you, and they love people. And the only reason they come back to this kind of a place and hear this kind of preaching is because they love you and they love souls. And they care about people dying and going to hell. Oh, dear God, help us to care. Help us to love. I know people are going to purposely try to hurt us. I know people are going to purposely try to defame us and defraud us. Say all kind of malicious things. I know that. They're just broken on the inside. They're shallow on the inside, that's all. They don't know the love that you and I share. They don't know the love that the people of God here share. Dear God, I pray that you bless those dear folks. I pray that you'd open their eyes and break their hearts and draw them closer to thee. But I do thank you for these dear folks who give. I'm not just talking about money, but they've given their lives.
They will go out sowing in the cold. They come, they sing, they clean, they sweep, they volunteer, they prepare. Oh, dear God, please bless the people who give their time, the people who give their talents, the people who give their gifts and their monies and their offerings. God, please bless these dear folks, these missionaries overseas who've left the blessings of America behind, left family and friends behind to see souls saved and churches started. Oh, God, please bless them. Be good to them. Love them. Dear God, help us to be givers, not takers. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.